Okay, our next presenter is Dr. Mario Cruz, who is an associate professor of psychiatry in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of New Mexico School of Medicine. Dr. Cruz has published several peer-reviewed articles and book chapters on mental health care disparities, as well as improving access to care for underserved populations. He has received funding for his work from the National Institutes of Health. Mario?
I want to start with a couple of narratives. We have an 18-year-old white male who's recently finished boot camp and is about ready to be sent off to Afghanistan. He's worried because his father had a history of bipolar disorder and he began having difficulty sleeping, worried about everything at home, and he spoke to his commanding officer about his own concerns about his health. His commanding officer told him to suck it up. He's just worried about leaving for the next day. Where does he go to seek advice? 24-year-old black female recently returned from Afghanistan through Germany. She has a past history of depression prior to actually being enlisted into the military, and his military recruiter said, oh, don't worry about that, I'll get you through. She comes home, she is in an obvious clinical depression, suicidal, doesn't feel she can be redeployed, and she must return within 24 hours. What should she do? The presentation today is a modest attempt to shed light on those warriors who fight our battles in the world, yet receive little in return for their sacrifices. To this end, our learning objectives are to describe the characteristics of active duty GIs and veterans who seek civilian health and mental health services, to explore the relationships between their selected characteristics, to begin to understand their reasons for seeking civilian and mental health services, health and mental health services, and to analyze the rationale for civilian services as an alternative to military services for active duty GIs. Now, luckily, my two previous presenters already shed light on how serious these problems are today. And as you see, there are several. These are what are called the invisible injuries of, quote, our healthy warriors, those individuals who have been voluntarily have enlisted into the military since 1973. Yet there is discrimination against many of these individuals. Many times these illnesses can manifest themselves in externalized behaviors, violence, aggression, domestic violence. And if anyone is caught doing these things in the military, this is called a misconduct. The misconducts can be severe, and ultimately misconducts can lead to individuals not being able to use any veterans' services for health and mental health. So the question becomes, where do they go for their services? Are our population statistics on the prevalence of these diseases appropriate and consistent with the realities? So one solution to this problem, and Dr. Waitzkin is the creator of this organization, called the Civilian Medical Resource Network. The CMRN objectives are to provide independent medical or mental health evaluations and treatment to active duty GIs and veterans. The activities include an informal intake assessment that is web-based and therefore easily accessed by intake workers throughout the country. There can be counseling done by phone or by referral through the CMRN network. Oops, sorry. So today's presentation presents some of our preliminary data on this population. It was a multi-method approach. Our quantitative data was extracted from 76 CMRN clients' complete data records between the times of 2009 and 2011. We also performed an iterative thematic analysis on 27 CMRN clients that were randomly selected who had sought services between 2009 and 2012. Some of the characteristics of this population. The group that actually, the referents were predominantly male, white, although over a third were non-white, half and split between African American and Hispanics, and predominantly from the Army. These individuals were generally of enlisted pay grade and had actually fairly well educated, with high school and some college. 25% of the group were absent without leave at the time of seeking our services. Some of the pre-military information and military information, 42% reported a previous history prior to enlistment of some form of trauma. The trauma was could either be sexual assault, physical assault, domestic violence, witness to violence at home. And 72% reported military trauma, with the majority coming from non-combat related trauma, sexual assault, physical assault within their own groups. And 42% of the individuals voiced mistrust of their command, being willing to meet their health and mental health needs at the time of referral. Now, this is a population that actually sought treatment in the military. So they had tried to access services, yet for some odd reason weren't able to access the services they felt they needed. Some of the quantitative findings, and by the way, we did bivariate analyses to identify throughout the CMRN database, ultimately identifying specific independent variables with a P less than 0.1 that we then placed into multivariate models to look at different relationships between some of the demographic characteristics and some of our dependent variables of interest, one of which was trauma. And we use the patient checklist, the PTSD checklist military version. And what we found was that insomnia was positively related to elevated trauma severity scores. Alcohol abuse and absent without leave status was associated with combat-related trauma, not with trauma in total, which we found very interesting. Only combat-related trauma was significant for that. Males, which is different than the general population at large, males more often than females reported met criteria for a diagnosis of generalized anxiety disorder. Now, suicidal ideation, I only put this in because I had actually put this finding in the abstract, and then we did a bootstrap analysis and found out that it wasn't stable. And so I did have to put this up and just let you know that I don't believe that this is a significant finding. Depression severity scores were associated with higher education levels. And there was a lower odds of an individual with a greater than a high school diploma being in having insomnia. From our qualitative findings, we had two coders. Both were military veterans, one a little younger than the other. Well, actually, the others, actually, Al is, 70 now? Yeah, strong, strapping guy at 70 years old. It's quite an amazing man, quite an amazing man. But they did the qualitative analysis, and we thought that that was important because many of the idioms of distress we may not have understood well, but a military veteran might. And the themes that were identified through this analysis were mistrust of the command, meeting their health and mental health needs. Deception in recruitment. Many people talked about deception in the description of the job that they might be able to attain when they went into the military. The perks that could come out of the military, that being paying for your education. And other things were just frank, outright changing applications so that they would meet the criteria for enlistment. One woman reported that she had told the individual that she had been sexually raped and had post-traumatic stress disorder, and he did not put that on her application. The thought of the issue of double agency came up many times, that being for the health and mental health providers who work in military installations, the contradiction between doing no harm, yet also ensuring preparedness and readiness for the military, and ensuring that there are enough bodies to put into battle. Family household issues were a significant stressor on all of these individuals. I, in fact, was on one night and had to speak to a 22-year-old white male from the Midwest who went back home, was now absent without leave because his mother had just died and his grandfather was the only person taking care of their 2,000-acre ranch. They were about ready to lose the ranch because the grandfather could not work. He also had a very severe panic disorder, which only came out while being in the military. And he was caught between, do I take care of my family or do I take care of the commitment I made to the country? The economic problems that can occur as a consequence of being both enlisted and deployed. Many people talked about family economic problems as being a major issue and reason why they were seeking out our advice and help. And last, rural geographic isolation. Some of the bases are stuck out in the middle of nowhere where they have no access to resources, to health and mental health resources that they felt were appropriate to meet their needs. Where do they go? So in conclusion, we find that in this small exploratory sample of individuals who were seeking services through a civilian military network, anxiety and traumatic disorders were very prevalent. Trauma was linked to alcohol abuse, insomnia, but also AWOL status, which I think is a very important issue. And that civilian services are needed for logistical, psychological, and or institutional barriers to seeking health and mental health services for military personnel. Thank you.